Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where our spirit is fed, where our faith grows stronger, and where we learn how to be an overcomer. We serve a good God. We serve a mighty God who is more than enough to give us victory in every area. His plan is not win a few, lose a few. His plan is win, 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 right? Win.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. So don't entertain the idea that maybe it's God's mysterious will for you to lose and be defeated, that somehow he's working a mysterious plan. No. His will is overcoming. Amen. His will is being more than a conqueror. So get your Bible out and shut everything else off and come into the class with us and let the Word feed your faith and push out doubt. Father, we believe that you are our victory, and we believe what you said, that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And so we come before you reaching out and desiring to be built up by your Word and by your Spirit. We ask for answers. We ask for help. We ask for a supply of your amazing Spirit and the quickening of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, we've been on a series now for a number of weeks that we are calling Faith for Provision. And what you'll find is that even though faith works the same in every area of life, you don't just get saved by faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith and walk by faith. We're supposed to do everything we do by faith. In fact, Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not of faith is sin. What does that mean? Well, if you can't do it in confidence, if you can't do it cognizant that it's God's will and that you're in line with Him, then you're questioning and you're wavering and you're doubting and you're not walking in the light that you have. That's sin. That's missing the mark. So God's will is that everything we deal with, our response is faith.
Amen.
Everything.
Yes.
From the time you open your eyes in the morning, I mean, you go to sleep in faith, you wake up in faith,
Amen.
You eat breakfast in faith, you drive to work in faith or school, or you put on your socks in faith. Come on, y'all with me?
Yes.
Button your shirt in faith. I'm serious. We are to what? Live. Live by faith. Walk by faith. That means everything we're doing with confidence toward God and confidence in His Word and confidence in His Spirit. So that's a radically different kind of living than the ungodly world. And it is a living without complaining. It's a living without being negative, because faith is not negative. It is a living by His Word. Hallelujah. And so what we're saying is that faith works the same in every area, and we're supposed to live our life in every area by faith, but faith has to be built in every area. You might have strong faith that your sins are forgiven, and you might be free from a guilty conscience because of your faith in the blood. That doesn't mean you have strong faith for the healing of your body. And you might have strong faith for the healing of your body. That doesn't mean that you automatically have strong faith to pay all your bills and to have plenty of material abundance. And so if you'll notice here in Faith School, Going back now to scores and scores of lessons prior to this, we spent weeks and weeks on faith for healing and overcoming unbelief and different things. And so we worked on that area, and then we worked on another area. And now for weeks, we've been building our faith for provision. Because in this world, in this life, you need stuff. Every day of your life, you need something to wear, something to eat, a place to sleep and live, and a way to go. And of course, if you got family, if you got business, if you got church, if you got ministry, then there's a lot more stuff that you need. I'm so glad we learned this years ago, and we believed for a studio. We believed for cameras and internet stuff, and that's how come we got you in this chair today. Huh? See, if we didn't believe, if we believed, well, maybe God just doesn't want, maybe He just wants us to be a little small concern and barely get by, and maybe that pleases Him somehow. No, that's men's twisted ideas. That's not the Word. God's will is that you always have all abundance. Hallelujah. In all things, abundant provision is always His will for us all. And we've been going one after another, giving 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure this is the truth. So say it out loud, abundant provision, is always God's will for us all. Say it again, abundant provision is always God's will for us all. One more time. Abundant provision is always God's will for me. For me. For us all. Always?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Abundant provision?
Yes.
For all of us?
Yes.
Well, okay, what's that based on? Is that just my idea? Is that just somebody's idea? What's that based on? Because you'll find a whole lot of church-going people, they don't believe that. They believe that oftentimes poverty and lack is part of God's plan for your development, that He's working numerous things. There are people who believe that sickness can be part of God's plan for your life. And what it's joined to is that a lot of people believe that everything that happens is the will of God. This is not true. This is not what the Bible teaches. That's men's ideas. And now you got to watch about religious tradition. Jesus warned and said that it makes the Word of God of none effect in your life. There are all kinds of religious ideas and traditions that are not God. They're actually contrary to what God said, but over the decades and centuries, they have been preached instead of the Word, and they have replaced God's Word in people's lives. Now, this is a tragedy, because if that happens, you will be robbed. You'll be robbed of faith, vision. You'll be robbed of the plan of God for your life. You'll be robbed of healing, of protection, of provision, because it's the enemy that wants you to think that anything and everything that happens is somehow God. That means He can do anything He wants to you, and you'll blame God for it. Somebody say, I'm not that dumb. Good to hear it. What does the Word say? That's what we should live by. Amen. And that's what the Bible said. That's how faith comes. It comes by hearing what He said. So if you haven't been with us, let me encourage you, go online. Faithschool.org is our site. And all these hundreds of lessons on faith are just sitting there waiting for you, ready for you. Some of them in different languages, if English is not your first language. And there's no cost, there's no requirement, there's no commitment. Just go there and feed on it. And the reason I'm saying is because we begin at reason number one. Now we're all the way to reason number 18. And so if you didn't hear the previous 17 ones, you need to hear them. They're Bible. They're good. And it's good preaching if I did do it myself. The Lord helps us. The first one was, the Lord is my shepherd. Then the goodness of God, the fatherhood of God, the creation of God, God's will in heaven, the God of Abraham. We're the seed of Abraham, the blessing of tithing. The Lord didn't say, honor me with the tithe and be broke. No. Huh? He said he'd pour out blessing on you, right? Honor and riches, wisdom and wealth. He didn't say, honor me and you'll do without. He said, I'll honor you. And part of that includes material things, as we saw. Wisdom and wealth. I mean, Proverbs and different places talk about if you're wise, you'll prosper, you'll increase. If you're foolish, you'll waste things, you'll use up everything, you'll be behind, you'll be in poverty. Well, if we seek God's wisdom and live His way and wind up broke, that's confusing. Because He said that's not how it worked, right? So we talked about being an imitator of God. God doesn't live broke. We talked about the great I Am who never changes. We talked about the names of God. He's El Shaddai. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the provider. Nothing we could ever find that indicated El Cheapo or Won't You Broco. The God is the God of restoration. We saw that even if you act dumb, even if you're wayward and rebellious and go the wrong way and lose everything you got and wind up in terrible condition, God said, come to me. Yes. I'll forgive you. Yes. I'll restore you. Amen. I'll lift you up beyond where you were before it started. Yes. Is He a good God? Is He a gracious, merciful, good, good Father? He's the God of restoration. See, I'm talking about, we've already preached these and gone over these. If you weren't here for that, you got to go back and get that. Provision in the wilderness. We saw that God can and will provide for you anywhere. In the bleakest, most barren places and conditions, He actually shows off in such places, right? Yes. What He can do and how He will do it. We talked about the promised land. How that it was a rich land that flowed with milk and honey. And He said it's a land where you won't lack anything in it. And like we had said before, if God, the way some people indicate and imply, God really prefers us to live a minimalist life, a Spartan life, just enough. If that were true, then when God brought His people out of Egyptian bondage and He got them into the desert, He'd say, welcome home. You're home, right? Because the desert is the bleakest, and they were living off of miracles, bread coming out of the sky, water coming out of the rock. They were sustained, but just sustained. There wasn't extra. There wasn't abundance. There wasn't plenty. And God said, I got that for you right over here. Promised land. His plan was to get them to it quickly. They didn't listen, so it took too long. But the next generation did enjoy it. Is He the God of the promised land?
Yes.
And He's the God of covenant blessing. And then we saw in our next point, this is number 18 now in our study of 30, that He has redeemed us. He gave us the blessing of the covenant, but He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Look in Galatians 3, please, again. Galatians 3 and verse 7. And you'll notice that the writers of the New Testament are continually referring to what we call the Old Testament, which is not just the old covenant, it's the law, it's the prophets, it's creation, it's the Word of God. Amen. In Galatians 3 and 7, He said, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Is that us?
Yes.
Verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Is that you?
Yes.
It is. Verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, as it is, for it is written, cursed is every one that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And then in verse 11, He had said, the just shall live by faith. Well, the law, Romans says, is good and holy and spiritual and just. There was never anything wrong with the law. The problem is justification by keeping the law. Everybody fell short except Jesus.
Right.
And so it wasn't the law's fault. It was that even if you kept most of the law and you broke part of it, well, you still came short. And so then you were still subject to the curse and disqualified from blessing. That's why Jesus had to come.
Yes,
and thank God he did.
Yes.
But he goes on to say that no man's justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident, for the just shall live by faith. That's what we were just talking about. Nobody was justified by the law. But God had another way we could be justified. It's by faith in the Christ who took our place. And like we were talking earlier in the class, you don't just get born again by faith. You live this way every day, every night, every part of our lives. Anything that comes up in your day, what's the answer?
Faith.
Yeah. In God.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Look to God. Trust God. Ask Him for the answer. Believe what He tells you.
Yes.
Huh? By faith, trust Him and do what He tells you to do. Faith, faith, faith in the morning, faith at noontime, faith when the sun goes down, right?
Yes.
The just shall
live
by faith. We're justified by faith. That means we're made right with God and right and acceptable in His sight. What we could not accomplish by keeping His perfect law. But we are justified by faith in what Christ has done for us. And we are, as we'll see in just a moment, we're freed from the curse and qualified for the blessing.
Yes.
All by faith.
Yes.
All by faith.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Somebody say, I live by faith.
I live by faith.
Verse 12, he said, and the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. When Jesus was hung on the cross and died on the cross, there was a lot more going on than just the physical aspect of it. As bad as that wasn't remotely the worst part of what happened. Jesus Himself was made sin with our sin and then made a curse because of the sin. And then death, which death, spiritual death, is separation from God, who is life. If you're separated from life, you die. That's what happened to Adam and Eve in the beginning. They were separated from God by their disobedience, by their wrong choices, by their wrong association with His enemy. And that's true with everybody on the planet today. You're either with God and connected to life, or you are spiritually dead. And everybody, when, you know, they reach the age of knowing right from wrong, with the exception of Jesus, everybody has chosen wrong and died spiritually and was separated. That's why you have to come to the Lord and you have to receive Him.
Yes.
And you're born again.
Amen.
You're made alive again. And if you'll stay hooked to God, you stay alive.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
He's the vine. We are the branches.
Amen.
The branch can't make it on its own.
Right?
You cut off the branch. You separate the branch from the vine. That's a dead branch.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So no, the life that's in us, the spiritual force and light and life that's in us, we're not generating it of ourselves. It's coming from the source.
Amen.
It's coming from the Spirit of God who's in us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
From the holy vine, the holy trunk we are connected to.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, I'm staying hooked. I'm staying joined. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He did it by being made a curse for us. He did it when He hung on the cross, the tree. That, verse 14, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He's talking about the blessing and the curse. The blessing and the curse has always been at work in the earth, all the way from its original creation. There was no curse in God's original creation. That came after the fall. But from that time till this day, these great forces are in the earth. They're working in the earth. And you're either blessed as a human being or you're cursed. And you can mock at this and you can scoff at this. You can say it's superstition or whatever you want to say. It don't change the fact. You're either blessed or you're cursed. And oh, if you had any smarts about you at all, you want to come over on the blessed side. Oh, the blessed life is the life. It's actually the only life. And cursed, blessing is God's power at work for you, to help you, to advance you, to increase you, to heal you, to sustain you, to provide for you, to protect you, to give you peace and joy. Somebody say, thank God for the blessing. The curse is the exact opposite of the blessing. Whereas there's life in the blessing, there's death in the curse. And as we read in our past week about Deuteronomy 28, he said, you'll be blessed when you go out, blessed when you come in, your basket, your store. He'll command it, you'll be the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. And just a few verses later, he said, if you refuse to listen, you'll be cursed when you go out, cursed when you come back in, cursed in your basket, cursed in your store. You'll be below, you won't be above. The exact opposite. Life or death. Blessing or cursing. Which is the exact phrases he said in Deuteronomy. And then he said, choose life. It's our choice. Whether we're blessed or cursed is not some predetermined thing by the Creator. It's not just based on what somebody else did. When you come to awareness and you know the difference between right and wrong, and you understand you have a choice, if you reject God, if you reject Jesus, it's not you could encounter the curse. You are cursed. You are, and you're condemned, and you're headed for destruction and judgment. There's no, you know, 5, 6, 7 different multiple choice. There's the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of the devil. There's heaven. There's hell. Huh? And you might say, well, how can a God who is love send people to hell? It wasn't his choice. It's our choice. If you don't want God, then that means you don't want heaven. I don't want hate-filled blasphemers living beside me in heaven. Do you? That would mess heaven up. That would never work. If you don't want God, if you reject God, and if you reject Jesus, you have rejected God. You cannot have the Father and reject Jesus. Not my words. It's in 1 John. It's in the gospel account of John. But if you have Jesus, you have the Father also. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no other name whereby we can be saved. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life, the only. If you've never confessed Him as Lord, do it with us right now. Everybody said out loud, Father God, I believe in you. I believe in your Son, the Savior of the world, that He did die on the cross, become a curse in my place, was judged in my stead, and that you have raised him up free from sin, overcoming death and sin, and the grave.
And the grave.
Jesus,
I receive you
as the Lord of my life,
my
Savior,
my Redeemer.
Thank you for the blood that washes me and cleanses me. Thank you for accepting me.
Thank you for
saving me.
I am yours.
You are mine. Your
banner over me
is love.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Oh,
thank. Just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord.
Lord,
thank you. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I am not the cursed. I'm so thankful I'm not in the family of Satan. I'm so thankful I'm not lost. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, when you're born of Him, the Bible says you are an overcomer. You are a victorious one. And what we just got through reading is that when you are, you put your faith in Him and you are born of Him, you now become the seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the curse that came on everybody because of sin, you are now redeemed from.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, that ought to make you want to dance and shout and run the rest of the day. Somebody say, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
From what? All the curse of the law. So anything you find in the curse, you know, that ain't for me. That could not be God's will for me ever. Why? Because of the length Jesus went to redeem me from it. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law so that I could get the blessing. Well, man, that blessing made Abraham rich. It made him rich. It protected him. It blessed him. It kept him. It went with him his whole life. And that's me too. I'm his seed. It belongs to me. And surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sounds like we got it made. We got it made. Got it made. And we're out of time for today. Well, come back tomorrow. There's a lot more to see and shout about. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.